As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, I wonder if you have a favourite book, or TV show, or film, or piece of music, or piece of art. A favourite, that thing that you go back to time after time. Doesn't matter that you've read it before, or listened to it, or seen it. Doesn't matter that you know the characters. It doesn't matter that you know what they're going to say. It doesn't matter you know what's going to happen. In fact, if you can join in with the dialogue or sing along with the words of the song, it just means it's found its way even more into your mind, into your heart. That favourite thing that you just keep going back to you. And even though you know it so well, it still has the capacity to surprise you, perhaps. As you watch it again, you see hidden corners or hidden depths. As you read it again, as you listen to it, wonder what it is for you. Perhaps it's something that meant something to you at a particular time of your life. You came across it when something was changing, perhaps memories of falling in love, of having children, of setting up home, of starting a new job. Something that really kind of reminds you of that time. Or maybe it's something that has helped you through tough or painful times. Something that you could hang on to even when everything else felt quite fragile. Something you return to. I wonder if you have something like that. Seems to me that that is how the writer of that first Bible reading that we heard this morning, that Heather read for us, felt about God's word. And that reading, it's taken from a collection of poems and songs, and we call it the Book of Psalms. That's all psalm means. It means poem or song. And the psalm we read a part of, Psalm 119, is the longest psalm. It's the longest poem in the Book of Psalms, and it's really carefully constructed. It has 22 sections, and each of those sections, each of the lines in each that section, begin with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and they're in order. Okay, so the first 8 lines of the poem all begin with the Hebrew word Aleph, which is the first letter. The next 8 lines, which are the ones we read, in Hebrew, they all begin with the Hebrew letter Bet. And it goes on like that, all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. 22 sections, 176 lines in total. Now, just think back to that thing you were thinking about at the beginning, your favourite song or your favourite book or your favourite thing. Okay, now imagine sitting down to write a poem about it, and the first 8 lines of the poem are all going to start with the letter A, and every single line mentions the something about the song, and the next 8 lines all begin with the letter B, and every single line mentions something about that book or film or whatever, and C and D and on and on and on. Can you imagine the work that that would take? Imagine the effort that would have to go into that. That is how much God's word meant to the poet who wrote this psalm, that he was willing to go to all that time and effort and energy, and every single line mentions God's word. Every single line. Just in that section that we heard read this morning, that Heather read for us, we hear about living by it, not straying from it, hiding in our hearts, learning it, speaking it out, finding joy in it, meditating on it, delighting in it. God's word, God's commands, God's way of living. That's how much it meant to this poet. Now, of course, when this poet was writing, the whole Bible hadn't been collected together yet. He couldn't have been, because he was writing some of it. So what was he talking about if the Bible that we have it is today didn't exist at that time? Well, he was probably talking about the first 5 books of the Jewish scripture. They're the first 5 books of the Christian Bible. And in those books, we read the great poems of creation, the accounts of humanity choosing to turn away from God, their creator, the great promises of God to Abraham, that through his descendants, all creation would be blessed. We read of the rescue by God of the people from slavery in Egypt, the return to the promised land. And in these books, we find the commands of God, the instructions on how God's people are to live, all summarized in the two greatest commandments: love God with all that you are and love each other. That's a summary of the whole of the Law and the Prophets: love God and love each other. And this poet, he found that it was in reflecting, in meditating, in keeping these words that he found delight and joy and life. And in time, of course, the Psalms were added to that collection, along with other books of wisdom, the history of the Jewish kings and queens and their people, the books of the prophets, messengers from God bringing warnings and words of hope to God's people. And altogether, they complete the Jewish scriptures, what we call the Old Testament in the Christian Bible. And then we move on to the New Testament, which opens up with four accounts based on eyewitness testimony of the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. His teachings, the stories he told, the things he did, the power he demonstrated over sin and death, evil and disease. And then the story of the first Christians. Churches a bit like this one, but 2,000 years ago. Gatherings of people who gathered around the teachings of Jesus and their faith, told in carefully researched histories and copies of letters that were sent from one church to another. When you take all that together, this is the Bible. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the Word of God to us, and to this, and it's this now, that is our delight. This is the book that we go back to, that still surprises us, that keeps us going in tough times, that we can learn the words of, so we find ourselves joining in when we hear it read. It's this that we read, that we listen to, that we hide in our hearts, that we learn, that can bring us joy and delight and life. Let me give you an example. In our second reading that Liz read for us, we read from Matthew's eyewitness account of Jesus' life. And the bit we read, that bit from chapter 6, it's in the middle of a whole load of teaching that Jesus is giving. He's up on a hillside and the crowds have gathered around him and he's teaching them. He's teaching them. And he gets on to the subject of prayer and he has good news. He has good news for the crowd. Because he says it's not about who can come up with long, beautiful sounding words. It's not about showing how religious you are or how good you are. It's just about you and God in honest conversation in the quiet of your room. At the kitchen sink, in the car on the school run. Just an honest conversation between you and God. That's what prayer is. And as you read through, as we read through, Jesus teaches them a prayer. We often call it the Lord's Prayer. And it's a great prayer to pray. We're going to use it later in our service. But actually, it's more than that. It's a pattern for how we can talk with God. What's the very first words? Our Father. Our Father. That's who we're talking to. God loves us more than the very best human father could love us. When we pray, we aren't going to someone who doesn't like us very much, or is impatient with us, or is reluctant to give us good things. God is our Father. That's the relationship we have with him. He loves us and wants to hear from us. He loves us when we talk to him. And then it goes on a little bit. I'm not going to be able to do all the details of the Lord's Prayer. I could do a whole sermon series on that. I was talking to someone a little while ago about manifesting. Anybody heard of that? Anybody? A few nods there. For those of you who haven't come across it, the idea is that if you think positively about something and positively enough about it, consistently enough, then the universe will make it appear for you. It will manifest. You manifest it by thinking positively about it. It's the power of positive thinking on steroids. That's the whole idea. And they asked me, what's the difference between prayer and manifesting? And we talked a little bit about prayer, and we talked particularly about the Lord's Prayer, and especially a bit about that bit where it says, your will be done. And they said to me, so, manifesting is all about what I want, and prayer is all about what God wants. I thought, yeah, actually, that is pretty much it. That's not to say that God doesn't want to hear the desires of our heart, what we want, but in the end, prayer trusts that God knows what we need, that God's will for us is good. And to be honest, that can be really hard when life is painful and we don't understand why the things that are happening and it's difficult. And where is God in all that? That can be hard. But in my experience, there can be real hope and comfort in leaning into God, trusting that in the end, God will work all things for the good of those who love him. And we show this trust as we turn to God for our daily bread. We're told to pray, give us today our daily bread. You see, God our Father cares about our daily needs, our day-by-day requirements, our ordinary lives. You see, we don't have to save up prayer for that time when we're in crisis and we've got nowhere else to turn to and it's just like, oh, help God. We can pray then, but actually God wants us to talk with him about our day-to-day life, day-to-day conversations. That's the thing that Jesus had in mind when he was talking about prayer. And then one of the biggies, forgiveness. We can come to God and ask God to forgive us. You see, what we read in Scripture, what we read in those eyewitness accounts of the history of Jesus' life is that he died. He died on a cross. He defeated the power of sin and death. We know he did that because he returned to life. He was raised to life again. And because of that, we can be forgiven for everything we've done wrong. That's why that's in the baptism promises. We can be freed from any guilt or shame that we feel. We can live free of the power of the wrong things we've done and the wrong habits that we have. We just come and say sorry and receive that forgiveness. The other freedom we can have is the freedom to forgive others. Any grudges or bitterness or anger can go as we talk about them with God. And to be honest, sometimes my prayers when I'm trying to forgive people aren't even, God, I forgive that person there. God, please help me to forgive that person because I know I ought to, but I don't really want to. Maybe that's just me. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, gently but firmly, our fingers are unwrapped from the handles of all that baggage we carry. All that shame, all that guilt, all that unforgiveness in the gift of forgiveness that we can receive and that we can then give to others. As I said, there is so much more about this prayer that I could say. But even if were I to continue till tea time, it wouldn't be enough. Because the only way to explore its depths is to pray in its pattern and to see what God does. The Bible and prayer are two of the greatest gifts that God has given us to help us grow closer to Jesus, to learn from Jesus, and to follow him. It's my experience that as we soak in God's word, so our hearts and minds are shaped and we are drawn closer to Jesus. As we talk with God, as we choose to share our lives with God in conversation, so we fall deeper and deeper in love with the one who is love. Now I say that's my experience. It's the experience of Christians through the centuries. It's the experience of Christians I've walked alongside through the years. But you might not recognize that experience this morning. That might not be your experience of reading or listening to the Bible or of prayer. Perhaps you've got the idea that it's not really for you. There's something like serious Christians do, vicars, those kind of people. The thing is, I firmly believe that they are for everyone. God is always willing to meet us in word and prayer, more willing in fact, more than willing, calling us, inviting us, waiting for us to respond. Now, if this is completely new for you, start simple. Read a gospel, one of those accounts of Jesus' life. Read a bit of it every day. See how the story of Jesus hangs together. Perhaps pray the Lord's Prayer every morning for a week, each day adding some of your own thoughts around the pattern. See what happens. See what God does. Try it. You can, if you like your phone, you can use your phone to help. There's an app called Lectio 365. If you go on your iStore or your Android Play Store, whatever it is, and Google Lectio 365, daily Bible readings, daily prayers that you can listen to. There's loads of Bible apps. Read Bible stories with your youngsters. Pray with them before bedtime. Make it a normal part of everyday life. That's what it's meant to be. It's not just for Sundays. As you go on, you might find some Bible notes helpful in book form or, again, online. For those of you who... hold on, where have I put my notices? I had some notices here. There they are. For those of you who get the notices by email or pick up a physical copy on a Sunday morning, have you noticed that there's like Bible readings for every weekday? Anybody ever noticed that? If you sat there thinking, I want to read the Bible, I'm not sure what to read. Well, we can help. We've made some suggestions. You can read it. If you're looking for things and you're not quite sure what to pray for, did you know that every year... Oh, I've lost my copy of that as well. I'm not doing very well. Oh, look now, everything's falling off. Where's my prayer diary gone? Oh, there it is. Look. A prayer calendar. Did you know we produce one of these every year? And every day, it goes through a month, and every day has things you can pray for in our community. Members of our church family you can pray for. Streets of our parish you can pray for. Things that you can pray for. If you haven't got a copy of this and you want one, there's some at the back. Take one on your way out. Or if you prefer it sent to you by email, get in touch with me. I'll email you a copy. Oops, I've squished there. You might want to make a note for yourself of situations or people you want to pray for consistently or regularly. You might like to draw or write your prayers. You know, have to think up words. There's all kinds of different ways of talking with God. Whatever it's going to be for you, and that's likely to change as time goes by and circumstances change, those helpful habits of reading or listening to the Bible and reflecting on it, of praying, talking with God, are ones that will help you get closer to Jesus, to learn from him and follow him. And in doing that, there is life in all its fullness. Amen.